The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. California.
What's up? This is the Talk of the Star podcast. I'm your host, Connor Live. You can find me on Twitter at ConnorNFLDraft. Tonight, I'm joined by one of my co-hosts. We're down a co-host tonight. Dalton is still with his family in Pennsylvania and was unable to come on board with us tonight. But I'm here with Cole. As always, follow him on Twitter at Cole L. Patterson. How you doing tonight, Cole?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Just shame that we had to let Dalton go. We're going to miss him.
Yeah, you know, just his awful takes on Twitter finally caught up. So, nah, he'll
our producer had enough of it.
That's right. Hopefully he'll be back next week, and hopefully we have another game to talk about. But we're going to get you prepared for the game that's this weekend, the divisional round playoff game. The Cowboys travel to Los Angeles. They are probably getting ready to leave. They probably leave first thing in the morning tomorrow, arrive midday tomorrow in Los Angeles, and they're going to be there in town and ready to play. First thing I want to start with tonight is the injury report that came out earlier today. If you compare the two, the Cowboys have a lot longer injury report than the Rams, and that's never a good sign. A lot of that has to do with the Rams having a bye week and not having to play a game. But I think we're going to go through this injury report here and talk about some of these guys we're a little bit worried about. We hinted at some of the guys we were worried about on Wednesday, but you know we're a ways away from there. We actually have game statuses and 3 days of practice to talk about. So we're going to go through these injury reports real quick to start it off, and then we're going to preview this game for you a little bit later in the podcast. So let's get it underway. The Cowboys injury report, as I mentioned, is very, very long. Tavon Austin is still on the injury report. I will say, before we move on, he was a full participant on Thursday. He was limited on Tuesday, limited on Wednesday, full on Thursday. He's, you know, without question going to play. The guy underneath him is where we're going to spend some time talking about. Cole Beasley did not practice at all this week. He was not ruled out for the game, but he is questionable for the game. I guess you could look at this two ways. Tavon Austin did have some injury concerns coming into the week, and it looks like he's, you know, ready to go. That's probably Cole Beasley's sub for this game, correct?
Yeah, I would think so. It's a good sign that he's good to go, because without both of them practicing, I think you're a little bit more worried heading into Saturday.
No, I totally agree, you know, and that was my worry there, is that not only Cole Beasley was going to be down, but there was some concern that Tavon would be too, and at that point I was like, goodness gracious, you know, we're going to be seeing Lance Lenoir play as a full-time player, and that's just not something I want to do in the divisional round game.
Exactly, and it's good that Tavon was able to go full on Thursday, and he was limited earlier in the week, but having that 4 day I think can really help him as far as being prepared for a game. I'm sure he's really hungry for it, considering that's the team that traded him.
Of course. You know, he's riled up for this game. There's no way he's not. He's going to come out. And I think he is going to make a difference. You know, we made a difference last weekend. I think just he's got that attitude. You know, when you hear him talk, you hear him, you know, you see the way he carries himself. He has that, you know, chip on his shoulder attitude, and I think that chip's probably grown about twice the size from last week to this week due to the opponent. But
I agree.
So underneath Cole, we have, and again, Cole Beasley has not been ruled out yet, but with 3 days of no practice, you know, there's some concern in that building that he might not be ready. He's a tough player. He's going to give every ounce he has if he can to play, but without a question, he is not going to be 100% if he does play. I think it's even going to be a bit of a surprise if he can, which hurts. It obviously hurts. Yeah. But
I think if there is a guy on this team, I mean, obviously Dak's one of them. If there's a guy on this team that will go without practicing the whole week, I think Beasley has to be on that short list just because, like you said, he's a tough guy. He's played through injury. He's really dealt with some injuries all throughout this season. And I do, while he definitely would not be anywhere near 100%, as you pointed out, I do think it's a good sign that he's questionable and not doubtful. Maybe it's just semantics, but I think if he's a game-time decision, I think he's a guy that will be ready to play, even if he didn't practice the whole week. But it certainly is something to keep an eye on.
Of course. And right underneath Cole, we have another receiver, Noah Brown, illness. He was a DNP on Wednesday, DNP on Tuesday, limited on Wednesday, and then full on Thursday. He was with the illness, so he had the flu is what I heard. It looks like he did get a full practice in on Thursday. He has no questionable or doubtful beside his name on the game status, so it looks like he's good to go. And again, I know people were a little bit hard on him last week because he had a few penalties. He obviously had the it wasn't really his fault, but he was involved in that deflection that was intercepted.
Mm-hmm.
If he can get going with that play-action game and he can be a good blocker, what we've seen him do all year, he can be effective in that role because no one knows who he is. You know, people were complaining about why are they going to him in these situations, and it's because a lot of the times he's leaking out of the backside of things and no one's paying any attention to him because they're just used to him blocking or being a decoy, and he's been wide open a lot this year. So,
yeah.
You know, getting him involved is huge.
I agree. We saw kind of Dak before Jess Swain went down with injury on the bootleg play action passes. I think you can see a little bit of that with Noah Brown, maybe not quite as effective, but just a little bit here and there that a guy, like you said, he can block, he can make some plays when he's able to get those opportunities. So having him as a full participant on Thursday is certainly big news, especially as we just talked about Tavon and Cole Beasley being banged up. You want somebody to be there being a full participant in the receivers room this close to game time.
Of course. And under Noah Brown, we got Malik Collins. He was also dealing with that illness that was kind of going around the locker room, and he was dealing with an ankle injury. He was a DNP on Tuesday, limited on Wednesday, and limited on Thursday. He is listed as questionable for the game. We kind of talked about it with Cole. Collins is a tough guy as well. He's played banged up all year, and I think that this is another situation where he's going to give it everything he's got. You know, I don't think he's 100%, but I think he will suit up and try to give it his best this weekend.
I agree. He's a guy that I think could have a big game if everything's going well with him. He's a guy that obviously played very well against Seattle last week. So having him in the interior of the defensive line will be key as far as depth, as far as just having people make plays against Todd Gurley. I mean, there's no secret he's one of the best playmakers in the NFL. He's going to get his as far as rushing yards. So having Malik Collins in there will be big and very beneficial for this defense if he's able to give it a full go.
Yeah, Jeff Heath, he was on the injury report, but he was a full participant all week. No issues with him with the wrist injury. Tyron Crawford, he was limited Tuesday and Wednesday, but full on Thursday. He's a guy that I think didn't play particularly well last week against the Seahawks. I saw him get knocked around a lot, and that's probably due to the fact that he was still kind of working back from that neck injury. I've seen in the past in sports that I've played myself, when someone suffers a scary injury like that, they're a little bit hesitant and tentative the next time they get on that field.
For sure.
I can kind of see that with him. He was getting knocked around a ton. There was a few plays that he just was absolutely blown out of the play, knocked down. I think he's going to come back and play a little bit better this week, kind of just getting used to that injury that he dealt with. I can totally see after going off in a stretcher just a week before him not wanting to. You know, I was kind of surprised he played as much as he did just because of that factor. Mm-hmm. But I hope he comes out and plays well because, again, the way this team runs the football, the way the Rams run the football, let me clarify, he's going to be a big part in, you know, setting the edges, making sure that Todd Gurley doesn't get out outside of those tackles and have free space to run through. So we're going to need Tyrone to play well this week.
I agree with that. I mean, kind of how you said with his neck injury, I think it helps going into the Seattle game, having that under his belt and everything. Like you mentioned, as far as being hesitant and all that, that maybe that's why they played so many snaps with him in the game. Maybe they want him to be comfortable playing big snaps deeper in the playoffs. So I think just having that, getting his feet underneath him, it can be beneficial against Los Angeles. I almost call them St. Louis. Los Angeles Rams.
So David Irving's out. We're not going to spend any time on that. There was some hope that he would come back this week, but obviously nothing has changed there.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Blake Jarwin did not practice all week. Similar to Cole Beasley, he is not ruled out for the game. There's some hope around the facility there that he's going to be able to tough it out and play some this week. And that's one that I think is important because without Jarwin, you only have Rico and Dalton Schultz. And you're looking at... You know, they use a lot of two tight ends, a lot of three tight end sets. So without Jarwin, they're either going to have to, one, change their scheme a little bit and either bring in a guy like Cameron Fleming when they do run that 13 personnel, which really kind of gives the defense a tip of what you're going to do, or they're going to have to, you know, change their scheme and go, okay, instead of using 13, we're going to go to 11 or we're just going to run off of 12. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with that extra tight end not being available if Jarwin can't go.
Yeah, and you've seen Dak and Jarwin have a connection over the last month of the season. Obviously the Giants game, but even the rest of December, he came on pretty strong, having some pretty solid performances. And even last week, he caught, I think, three catches. So, I mean, he seems to be a guy that Dak looks for, that's a guy that will help this passing game, especially with the Rams most likely paying a little bit more attention to Amari Cooper, maybe putting a safety over the top on Gallup, depending on the matchups and all of that. So having Jarwin in this game could be huge as far as moving the football.
Definitely. Sean Lee was a full participant all week. So he is obviously healthy, you know, and there's some questions if he'll be active or not because of the role he's been playing, but he's obviously fully healthy. Zach Martin was limited Tuesday and Wednesday, full on Thursday. He's good to go. Dak Prescott was full all week with the knee injury. There's no concerns there, according to Jason Garrett and Scott Linehan. Tyron Smith, limited on Tuesday and Wednesday, full on Thursday, good to go. They're just giving those two linemen, Zach and Tyron, just their weekly rest to get them prepared for the game, get them to the game fully healthy. Darian Thompson, safety, he has been limited all week with a groin. I don't think he's been active at all this year, if I'm mistaken. I think he may have been a game or two when Goodwin wasn't active, but when they got Goodwin back, they did go back to Goodwin as their special teams guy. So that'll be one, you know, it's not necessarily a big impact. It's going to be a special teams thing. But Xavier Suofilo, the last guy on the injury report, was limited all week with an ankle injury. He is questionable for the game. I think that they're going with Connor Williams either way is kind of what I think I'm hearing, you're hearing, everybody's kind of hearing, is that Connor Williams is going to get that start. And he played pretty well last week against Seattle. He's got a big matchup this week against Aaron Donald, Ndamukong Suh, Michael Brocker. So I tweeted out earlier, he better make sure he packs his big boy pants for this trip because he's going to need them.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of concern. I don't know if you had concern, but I know at least on Twitter, social media, people were a little bit concerned last week with Connor Williams going into the Seattle game as far as him being able to hold his own and make an impact against the Seahawks front, because we have seen him struggle at times during his rookie season, which is to be expected. So, but yeah, he came in and played very well. He had a key block on that 3rd and 14 that helped Dak get that first down. And he's, it looks like this staff is confident in him. And like you said, they're going to roll with him regardless of what the hell to Suofilo. But I will say that having Suofilo practicing, I don't believe, I could be wrong, I can't remember, but I don't believe he practiced last week. So having him practice this week, even in a limited capacity, is big as far as having another offensive lineman active. Is in case Connor Williams struggles or in case he goes down with an injury, having Suofilo, who's had his moments at times this season, is big, especially when you go, when you're talking about a front that features the best, probably the best defensive player in the NFL. You have Sue, who can always make an impact when he wants to, and Brockers is another guy that's gonna get after the quarterback. He's a guy that's gonna stop the run. So having as many offensive linemen as you can is never gonna be a bad thing.
Totally agree with you there. We move on to the Rams injury report, and like I said, the Rams are very healthy. They only have 4 guys listed on their injury report, and out of those 4, 3 of them are good to go for the game. Blake Keltness is a defensive back. Don't know a lot about him. He's good to go. Todd Gurley, obviously their star player, was limited on Tuesday, limited on Wednesday, full on Thursday. He is good to go for the game. Whether he's 100% or not is still in question, and we've seen knee injuries crop up on players kind of throughout the game or limit them during the game, so that's something to keep an eye on.
Especially at the running back position.
Exactly. You know, whether he's fully healthy or not, you know, that knee injury, it's something that with running backs, even if it is healed and it's healthy, you're thinking about it. It's in the back of your head the whole time, and he's had knee injuries throughout his career at Georgia and in the NFL. So that's something that, you know, even though it might be good, in the back of his head, he's got to be thinking, can I make this cut? Am I going to be able to turn this corner? Am I going to be able to outrun, you know, Leighton Vander Esch? If that's in the back of his head, it's going to affect his play. But, you know, he looks good to go. It looks like he's going to be ready to go and play, and the Cowboys better be ready for him.
I mean, they came up for the challenge last week. I didn't mean to cut you off, but they came to the challenge last week in Seattle. I mean, they entered the game with the highest or the best rushing offense in the NFL. They were running down people's throats, and Chris Carson was a big reason for that. This defense came up and held Chris Carson under 2 yards per carry. Now, I don't think they can hold Todd Gurley to that, but the point I'm trying to make is, with his knee injury, he's going up against a good and aggressive defensive front. So I don't know if it will be, but it could be something to watch as the game heads into the second half.
Yeah, no, for sure. And safety LaMarcus Joyner was a full participant all week. He is their starting safety. He has an ankle injury that didn't keep him out of practice at all. He's good to go. And then Ethan Westbrooks is a defensive lineman of theirs who was not on the injury report on Tuesday, limited on Wednesday, and then a DNP on Thursday. He's listed as questionable, but the downgrade throughout the week makes it seem like he might not be ready. And he's kind of a rotational defensive lineman for them. Not a, you know, elite player by any means, but he does play for them. He does get some snaps, so you know, maybe that'll help out in the run game. Maybe it'll keep, you know, one of those guys on the field that starts for them and wear them out a little bit more, not being having that backup option to put in.
Certainly can't help, though.
No, yeah, you can't. Exactly. You can't help them. So.
Yeah, that's but, good.
Yeah, you know, you look at it. We talked about the injuries. It's you know, it's obviously, you know, you got Allen Hurns, who's on injured reserve for the Cowboys. Dayton Jones on injured reserve. Jeff Swaim, injured reserve. Terrence Williams, injured reserve. Cedric Wilson, IR. Travis Frederick, IR. Jameel Showers, IR. Marcus Martin, IR. And then Parker Anger is also on IR for the Rams. Their IR guys are Garrett Sickles, Mike Thomas, Dominique Easley, Cooper Kupp. That's a big one. Dominique Hatfield, Malcolm Brown, Morgan Fox, Kevin Peterson. I don't think you can underestimate how different their offenses looked without Cooper Kupp. So,
yeah, I was about to say, I mean, you, I believe it was, in your article that you posted on Blocking the Boys, shout out Blocking the Boys. He, you kind of mentioned how Jared Goff has been playing over the last few weeks compared to Dak Prescott, and how Goff was on fire to begin the season, but ever since the bye week and really ever since Cooper Kupp went down, his numbers have dipped a little bit. So it is something to watch. Cooper Kupp was obviously his favorite target. They had a really good connection that really tormented secondaries each and every week. So it's a huge lift. I know they've had it's usually a lift for the Cowboys defense, but I know the Rams offense have had some weeks to prepare. I know Sean McVay had a bye week to come up with some things in his sleeve. So, I mean, it's obviously something to watch, but having Cooper Kupp not in the game has to be a sigh of relief for really everybody, because, I mean, you still have Brandon Cooks, you still have Todd Gurley, but if you have Cooper Kupp in there to go along with them, as they did last season when these two teams met, it's a completely different outlook. So I think not having him in there, I don't think many people are talking about it enough as far as Jared Goff, like I said, has struggled, and not having a guy of that caliber is certainly not going to help him. I think this defense can be a little bit more aggressive because of that.
No, I totally agree with everything you said. You know, obviously, you know, Cooper Kupp's a really strong player, a guy who can play inside, mm-hmm. he can play out, he runs good routes, he's, you know, a possession guy, he can score in the red zone. Being without him is a huge loss. Dominique Easley's played well for them in the past as well. You know, he's had an injury-riddled career, so mm-hmm. him being on IR as well kind of hurts. So both squads are dealing with some talented players on IR. Both squads are dealing with a few of their better players banged up.
Yeah, I mean, if you just look at the injury report, you would think Dallas is in a world of trouble, which, I mean, you obviously don't want Cole Beasley or Malik Collins to be game-time decisions, but Cooper Kupp, like you said, is not on the injury report. You don't see that because he is in IR. Dominic Easley is a guy that would help them rush the passer on that defensive line rotation. So while you would like the Cowboys to be a little bit more healthy, I think the injury, the game of injuries is a little bit a different story as far as just being black and white on the injury report.
No question. All right, we're going to take our first break, come back, and really dive into the preview of this game for you, talk about what we kind of expect on offense and defense for the Cowboys and the Rams, and give our kind of thoughts and feelings on what the Cowboys can do to have some success. We'll be right back after our first break. We're talking to Star. And we're back on the Talking the Star podcast. I'm your host, Connor Livesey. Find me on Twitter at ConnorNFLDraft. Tonight I'm on with Dalton, with Cole, not Dalton. I'm on with Cole Patterson. Follow him on Twitter at Cole L. Patterson. Dalton is not with us tonight. He is still with his family, but you can find him on Twitter at Dalton B. Miller. Make sure you're following the podcast on Twitter at Talking the Star, Blogging the Boys on Twitter at Blogging the Boys. And I also want to give a big shout out to SB Nation, Vox Media, and all the other guys that work over at Blogging the Boys and their podcast, Bruising the Boys, Ocho Live, 750. You guys are doing fantastic work as well. Make sure if you're listening to this podcast, you're listening to theirs as well. All right, man, let's dive into this game preview. We got a lot to talk about, offense and defense. I wanted to start out with the Cowboys' offense against the Rams' defense. A lot of talk this week has been about the Cowboys not necessarily force-feeding the run, but relying on that run a lot. Do you think that's the smart approach to this game?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, you can't really rely on it as far as you can't give Zeke 40 carries. I mean, maybe he can handle that. Maybe he can break some runs in there. But you're facing Wade Phillips, who knows a thing or two about defending offenses and defending Jason Garrett. Obviously, that familiarity will help. So you can't just rely and be one-dimensional. Again, I know the Rams are, I think, yeah, they give up the most yards per carry across the National Football League, over 5 yards per carry. So Zeke's going to have his opportunities, but I don't think you can just give it to him on second and nine, on third and five or whatever. You're going to have some pass plays to open this thing up for Zeke. You're facing a defense that, yes, struggles against the run, but you do have Aaron Donald. You do have Sue. You do. We kind of already mentioned all of those guys up front. I would be shocked if they're not looking to make a statement against Ezekiel Elliott and company. So to counter that, I would like to see a little bit more play action. I don't know if that's going to happen. I know you have been one of the main people wanting to see a little bit more of that. So that would be nice just to counter that, make them think twice about sending the house and putting nine in the box. But I think the way to win this game, I think Dak is going to have to make some plays. And we have seen him that he is capable of making those plays. He can make the first downs. He can put this team in the end zone. And I think I won't say that the game's going to be won on his arm as far as him throwing 40 times or throwing for 300 yards or whatever. But I do think the game will be won because of a play that he makes, and maybe not so much Ezekiel Elliott makes, if that makes sense.
No, and that's kind of where I agree. You know, I think people, I don't want to tell people they're wrong because I hate kind of saying, you know, my opinion's better than yours. That's not the case at all. But
unless it's Dalton.
Yeah, or unless it's Dalton. But, you know, I look at this and I go, the last thing I want to do against a team that struggles stopping the run, and a lot of that is due, you know, to the fact that the teams aren't running the ball a whole lot on them because they're behind. You know, you look at those stats, you know, teams, they're ranked 23rd in the league in rushing yards. You know, they do have some, you know, some they in rushing yards. As you mentioned, they are last in the league in yards per carry. You know, that's just, I get that. It's because teams aren't running the ball a lot. The times they do, maybe they are getting those big chunk plays like you talked about. I think the last thing you want to do going into this game, though, is load up and say, we're going to run the ball 30 times. Because that lets those guys know what you're going to do. And even if you suck at doing that, if you know what's coming, you can be 10 times better than what you already are. You know, by no means am I, you know, I'm 5'8". I'm not a basketball player. I can't shoot, you know, the basketball. But if I know you're not going to play defense on me, I might be able to take my time a little bit more and get an accurate shot off.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that was a horrible example. But I hope people understand what I'm trying to say is I'm not – if you're going to, you know, show the other side of the ball, this is what we're going to do. We're playing smash-mouth football. We're running it right at Aaron Donald, right at Michael Brockers, right at Ndamukong Suh. It's going to fail. I don't care how bad the statistics say they are at it, because they're just going to load up the box, they're going to run blitz, and they're going to shut it down. Now, you know, I got a little bit of pushback because I talked about it in the Blogging the Boys article that you mentioned earlier. I think the Cowboys need to work on running in situations maybe where this defense isn't going to think you're going to run. You know, I watched the Philly Rams game a couple weeks ago, and they ran a draw play on 3rd and 4 that went for like 18 yards because in that situation, they had their nickel defense on the field. Philly spread everyone out. There was just a 3-man defensive line, Donald, Sue, and I think it was Fowler at the time, and they gashed them. You know, obviously they just man on man, hat on hat, double teamed Donald, pulled one of their tackles that blocked Sue out of the play, and there was 17 yards just there for Darren Sproles to take. I think that's going to be key is, yeah, I hate running on 2nd and long, but if you can spread that defense out on 2nd and 7 or 2nd and 8 and then run that draw play or maybe even incorporate that quarterback, you know, sweep, the QB draw, the QB power, those are ways that I think that you can really make that run game effective without running the ball 32 times. Because, like I said, if you're running 32 times, you're giving up what you're trying to do. And I think that anyone in the NFL that knows how to play defense can adjust to that and say, we're just going to let you run it right into our teeth for 3 or 4 yards and then punt or kick field goals, and then we're going to get the ball back and score. So I just don't want to run in a brick wall. That's all I don't want them to do.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything that you just said there as far as you don't want to be stubborn. I don't think you can be stubborn or one-dimensional against, like I said, a Wade Phillips defense where you kind of mentioned it. Teams have had to throw the ball more than run it because the Rams are so prolific on the offensive side that you can't just run the football. But this is a game. I like what you said about running Dak. I mean, I think this is a game that you got to utilize his legs a little bit more. Get them second-guessing. Get them not make them think twice about committing to Zeke on some zone reads and things of that nature. We saw a little bit of it down the stretch against Seattle, and it worked. I mean, Dak, he's a guy that can run the football and make plays with his legs. We've seen it his rookie season. We've seen it throughout his NFL career. He did it. He made a name for himself on the collegiate level. He's a guy that can do that. Do you want him taking 10, 15 carries a game? No, but some here and there, I think, can open this offense a little bit more and maybe as a result, get some Zeke some open running lanes, get some passing lanes over the middle to open up and things of that. And I think that could really help help this team move the ball down the field.
I know I'm you know, just being stubborn by even thinking this, but this really is a game where I hope Scott Linehan goes to the play action a lot because
does that exist?
Yeah, I know you'd be beating them at their own game at that point if you can use that jet motion, getting that defense moving around a little bit, you know, having some success on the ground, but then using the play action in front of it and behind the run, you can really give that defense some fits. You know, not allowing Aaron Donald to just keep, you know, using that nasty swim move that he uses to beat whoever's going to line. Like, I don't care if it's Donald versus Zach Martin every snap of every game. Donald's going to get his. I'm not saying that it's going to be a win or a loss for Zach Martin, but he's, you know, you line those two up next to each other all game, every snap, I guarantee you Donald's going to get a sack and a half to two sacks. That's just how he is. He's not... You have to trap him. You have to double him. You have to combo block him. You have to use his aggressiveness to get upfield against him, and that comes in the trap game. That comes with those screens. I think that the screen game needs to be a top priority this game. You know, getting those guys up the field and then getting the ball out behind their heads with your big offensive lineman out in space against those smaller linebackers. And I think that that's a recipe for success. It's just they have to be a little bit creative in the way and the times that they call these plays. And if they do, I think they'll be successful.
I agree with that. I think this is a game that you would like to see some play action, because everything you just mentioned, I think it can open the rest of this offense up. And I think it makes too much sense to run a play action. I mean, I just don't see how it can be bad. It's, unless you're worried if Connor Williams can hold up against that defensive line or Drew Linear or whoever. I mean, I don't think there's a downside to it.
Well, I'm glad you said that, and because I hear that a lot, is they don't call play action because they don't trust their offensive line. Play action doesn't have to be slow developing, you know.
Oh, I agree.
You know, you can run play action crossers with your tight end blocking, seeping out of the back end, crossing over the field, you know, middle right there at the shallow part of the field, right in front of the offensive line, and all it takes is for those linebackers to flow to the left, and he's coming right in front of it, crossing their face to the right, and it's yards after the catch available. It doesn't have to be play action, shot after shot after shot. You can run those shallow crossers off of play action. You can run, you know, the I know we joke on the Linehan special, the bootleg with the tight end coming underneath, but that can be effective if you do it at the right times, not at the second possession, first play from the 20-yard line every time. So
I mean, I agree with that. I'm just trying to figure out why they don't run it, because I mean, Dak showed that he can be highly productive in that, on those kind of plays. I just think you have to utilize that more. We can only hope that they're saving it for these next two or three games, but I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah, we'll find out. All right, let's figure out if this Cowboys defense has a chance against this high-powered Rams offense. The Rams' offense is ranked second in points, second in yards, first in first downs, fifth in passing yards, eighth in passing touchdowns, eighth in rushing attempts, third in rushing yards, second in rushing touchdowns, third in yards per carry, third in scoring percentage. Those are pretty much, you know, they cover their they cover their tracks pretty well when it comes to working the offensive side of the ball. The question that I wanted to get out, and I'm sure some people might not like that I'm even asking this question, is: are you at least a little bit concerned about Byron Jones?
I mean, I don't know if I'm concerned about Byron Jones specifically, but I am kind of worried about how the secondary finished last week as far as giving up the big plays. And we kind of talked about that on Tuesday or Wednesday show. I guess I see what you're saying with Byron again, matched up with their wide receivers and things of that nature. But I think it's more of the secondary as a whole as far as Cheeto turning his head around quick in time or in time to make a play. And as far as Byron, he's played like one of the better corners across the National Football League this season, but he has been he has shown they can give a big play here or there, and against this kind of high-powered offense, you have to be worried about it. I guess you can't say you're not worried about it because how good they are. I mean, they're going to make plays on this defense eventually. I mean, how many plays remains to be seen, but I think you do have to keep an eye on it at the very least.
Yeah, and I'll kind of answer my own question there, and I am a little worried. I just, the last few weeks, you know, against Tampa Bay, he gave up a couple big plays to Mike Evans. Against the Giants, he gave up a couple big plays and a touchdown. And then last week he gave up the big play where he didn't carry the receiver deep enough up the zone. That really set the Seahawks up with good field position to score and possibly get back in the game. And like you said, I really worried about it this week with Brandon Cooks and Robert Woods, because those guys are big play receivers that do a lot of their damage down the field. And he's been phenomenal, but these last, I'll say 3 to 4 weeks, the last month of the season a little bit, I've had a few concerns with what's going on. I don't know if he's just, you know, playing a little too loose, you know, to where, like I said, that play against Seattle, he kind of got lost. He was expecting the underneath route. You could tell they had run a level underneath it to kind of hold him shallow, and he completely bit for it. He stayed down low and kind of actually started falling forward to come up and play the ball, and it left Lockett wide open on the back end. And that stuff, it's just not, you can't do that stuff against these teams that run play action, that are going to run those levels concepts to get guys, you know, running underneath and over top of each other to get the zone coverage looks. A little bit of communication issues, because that's the hardest thing to defend, in my opinion, in zone coverage, is when you run those levels, because you have most of your defense back there staring at the quarterback, and all it takes is for one guy to bite on a fake, and then the guy that's running behind him is wide open. So, you know, they run a ton of levels, a ton of mesh, a ton of, you know, play action. So this defense is 1,000% going to have to play disciplined football if they want to keep up with this Rams offense. And for the most part, they have. It's just been the last few weeks that I've had a few concerns with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think they can make plays against the Rams offense. I mean, obviously they're one of the better defenses across the National Football League, and for a good reason. And they have athletes everywhere. They've played very well. They limit opponents. I mean, but the one thing that does worry me is what you kind of touched on, is the play action game. We saw Russell Wilson in Seattle had some big plays in the second half against play action, or in the first half on their scoring drive to go up 6-3. So we've seen them be. We've seen different teams attack them in that way, and I kind of worry about Los Angeles taking advantage of that. They are one of the better teams at running play action in the NFL, and Dallas has some aggressive linebackers, which helps them stop the run. And when you're facing Todd Gurley, I guess that has to be one of your biggest priorities, is stopping the run, but if you're going to send your linebackers like that, you're going to have to trust your secondary even more. And I agree. You're going to have to need a bigger and better performance out of Byron Jones and the rest of the DBs.
Yeah, and you brought up a really good point there, because I think the number one, I listed this in that Blogging the Boys article, I think the number one key to this game is putting pressure on Jared Goff. If you can put pressure in his face and you can cover on the back end, he's going to make a ton of mistakes. I mean, just YOLO ball after YOLO ball. I saw that all throughout the tape, throughout the year. Just when he has clean pockets to work with, he'll pick you apart. He'll sit back there. You know, their route concepts are very, very refined. They do smart things on the offensive side of the football with their routes, with their play schemes, with their developments. And the last thing you want to do is allow that offensive line to beat you up on the front. And that's where I wanted to talk next before we go to our final break, is how good of a front seven you have to have this game. You know, Jalen Smith, Leighton Vander Esch, DeMarcus Lawrence, Antoine Woods, Malik Collins, Tyrone Crawford, Randy Gregory, all those guys have to play at a high level if this team wants to win this football game, because of the fact, you know, we talked about the secondary, we talked about them needing to play better as well, but I think the main issue is if you're going to want to get pressure on Jared Goff, you might have to send some blitzes here and there, and if you send those blitzes, then you have to have coverage on the back end. And then if the coverage is holding up, you might not have to blitz as much, which doesn't leave you exposed to those big plays that we've seen them give up here recently. So the dream scenario is that that front four with Randy Gregory, Antoine Woods, Malik Collins, and DeMarcus Lawrence can get enough pressure consistently that they don't have to blitz a whole lot and allow Jalen Smith and allow Leighton Vander Esch to flow to the football to, you know, kind of put some focus on Todd Gurley and not have to be super aggressive coming downhill in blitzing.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything you said about the front seven. I do think it's kind of funny that you kind of brought up the front seven, because I'm sure you've seen Antoine Woods and DeMarcus Lawrence having some fun on Twitter with PFF's front seven rankings, and Dallas is not even in the top five, and Antoine Woods called him out and called him a joke for that. And I think, while that might not obviously be a huge role in the game, I do think it kind of helps as far as someone playing with a chip on their shoulder. I think they do want to – I think they hear how good this offense is, the Rams offense is, and for good reason. Obviously, they have – they're obviously a high power. They have a really good coach designing these plays. They have a elite-level running back. And I think they're going to want to make a statement in this kind of game. They're going to want to prove that they are – I think they believe they're the best defense in the league. Obviously, that can be argued and whatnot, but I think they want to go out and show that they are. I mean, we saw that against New Orleans. They heard all the talk about how nobody can shut down the Saints' offense, and Dallas held them to 10 points. Obviously, that was a couple months ago, so there's some different factors at play, but I think they're going to come out on fire. Pun intended with the hot boys, but I was also reading an article on The Athletic talking about how some of the things Dallas does defensively is really will give Los Angeles some problems, and it starts up front with the defensive line. It starts with Vander Esch and Jalen Smith as well, as far as flying to the football and making things difficult in the backfield, not only blitzing the quarterback and putting pressure in that regard, but shutting down the run and making life hard in that way too. They play aggressively, and I think that's because of Chris Richard. His philosophy just rubs off on everybody else as far as wanting to fly around the field and hit, and we see that with Jalen Smith. We see that with Leighton Vander Esch. Antoine Woods got in the backfield and blew up a play. Malik Collins, as he mentioned on last show, was in the backfield a lot. And I think they're going to not only want to do that, they're going to need to do that in this kind of game as far as preventing Jared Goff from being comfortable in the pocket, preventing Todd Gurley from going off and getting first down to first down. Obviously, you already mentioned in your article, he's going to get his, which is obvious. He's going to get his. He's too good not to. But I think this defensive line this front seven in general is going to come to play. I guess one of my only worries in that regard is being too aggressive. We've seen this team send too many people and letting the middle of the field open, and against a team that relies on play action a lot to get their offense rolling. I think that has a chance to hurt Dallas in some regards, but I do think all in all, this front seven will come to play, and I think everybody else will feed off of it.
Yeah, that's going to be a huge key to this game, like you said, just getting pressure, making sure that front seven doesn't have to be over-aggressive with blitzing or flowing to the football. I said it to finish off my article in Blogging the Boys that we've referenced a few times. If this defense plays like it did against the Saints, I think this team wins this football game, and probably a little bit rather comfortably than they did against the Saints, just because I think that the Saints are a better football team. So that's going to be key, is just playing good defense, rallying to the football, being disciplined, staying in your gaps, keeping containment on the edge, just making sure that you're not being over-aggressive and losing those gaps and things of that nature. So we're going to take our final break, come back, give you our game predictions, and then we're going to get out of here, and we're going to get ready for this Rams game on Saturday in Los Angeles as the Cowboys head out to the West Coast to take on the Rams. We'll be right back after our final break. We're talking the Star. And we're back on the Talking the Star podcast. I'm your host, Connor Livesey. You know where to find me on Twitter. Tonight I'm here with Cole Patterson. You know where to find him on Twitter. You know where to find Dalton on Twitter. Shout out Blogging the Boys. Shout out SB Nation. Shout out Vox Media. Let's get into it. Dalton, I'm going to go ahead and read Dalton's predictions off. He texted them to me, so we'll get his out of the way. He has the Cowboys winning 24-23 over the Rams. He says if they're going to take enough advantage of the soft cover three that the Rams run against clear outs to get the ball to Cooper with the yards after the catch opportunities. He's got them winning. Moving on to the NFC Championship. Cole, who do you got?
Yeah, I went back and forth, not because I don't think they're going to win. It's just, a road playoff game always has to give you some worry. That said, I do think Dallas pulls it out. I think it's going to be a back and forth game where this offense is going to have to make some plays in the pass game specifically, not because they won't be able to run the ball, but because of what you kind of touched on earlier. I wouldn't be surprised if Los Angeles blows the box and forces Dallas to beat them in a different way. With all that said, I think Dallas wins 27-23. I think it's, like I said, back and forth, and I think Dak Prescott adds to his legendary come from behind victories and punches a ticket to the NFC Championship game.
I'm going to finish it off, and I'm going to pick the Cowboys as well. 28-27. We got a nail biter coming down to the wire. Kind of everything you just said, I think that the Cowboys finish the game off with the ball. They go down the field. They punch it in, down 21-27. They score the touchdown, and the game's over. They kick the extra point to Brett Maher, drills the extra point to give them the win with time expiring. I think that's how we move on to that NFC championship game, which is just insane to say from where this team's come, how far they've come this year. It's been a blast covering them. I hate to even jinx this or say this, but if for some reason the season may end this Saturday, it's been a blast covering it. We hope it continues. We all pick them to continue. So let's rally behind this team. Let's bring all the good juju we can and get this thing going to the next week. So we're talking the Star. The Cowboys head to Los Angeles tomorrow to visit the Los Angeles Rams in the NFC Divisional Round playoff game Saturday night, prime time. Make sure you're cheering, make sure you're rooting, make sure you're wearing your team colors, because they're going to need all the support they can get. Let's do this. Let's go, Cowboys. Let's beat the Rams. We're talking the Star. California.
My name is Spencer Hall.
My name is Jason Kirk.
My name is Ryan Nanny.
And when we combine, we form the Shutdown Fullcast. I keep telling you, we're not Voltron.
The Shutdown Fullcast is technically a college football podcast, but it's also a show about
lawn care disasters,
regional grocery stores we love,
Tennessee Batman,
homeowners associations,
Bears in video games.
I mean, there's also some actual football discussion, like about coaches having huge contracts, or coaches making terrible decisions, or coaches saying really stupid things.
Or the NCAA saying really stupid things.
Yeah, there's lots of stupid things in this big, dumb, beautiful sport.
Sometimes we talk about football games.
Allegedly.
If you want to take college football exactly as seriously as it deserves to be taken, come find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcasts like this one.
The Shutdown Fullcast.
It's not Voltron.